Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to need that grace today because we are under attack all around us and against us, against you. A war is being waged. We have an enemy that hates us, desires our fall. When I say those words, how do you respond to them? Perhaps some of you think that I'm overstating the case, sounding a bit like Chicken Little, declaring that the sky is falling. You know, I'm pretty comfortable. I feel safe. I feel relatively secure. Sure, I experience bumps in the road along the way, but under attack? Really? No, that sounds like paranoia. Others of you might be in agreement with me that there is a war going on around us. After all, we hear of evil and unrest in the world as we watch the news, as we carry out conversations with one another. We even experience some of it ourselves along the way. But how would we define this conflict, the source of unrest and agitation at work in our lives and in the world around us? Is the source of our conflict political? Liberals versus conservatives. Democrats versus Republicans. Libertarians versus socialists. Is the conflict racially motivated? Black versus white, or white versus everyone else? Is the conflict a matter of economic disparity, the haves versus the have-nots, the 99% against the one? Is our primary threat terrorism or the subversive practices of another country? Or does the conflict and evil exist closer to home? Is it you versus your in-laws? You versus your overbearing parents? Or you versus your rebellious child? You versus your antagonizing neighbor? You versus an ongoing illness or disability? All the things I listed can feel like a real source of conflict. We can feel like we are under attack in all sorts of different ways. But when I said to you at the beginning of this message that we are under attack, I really wasn't focusing on any of the things I just listed. And this morning, God's word says to you and to me that we shouldn't be focusing on those things either. No. St. Paul talks about a struggle and a warfare against a different enemy altogether. An enemy who may employ many of the things I just listed, but an enemy who is truly separate from them. Hear again what St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 about the nature of this conflict. He writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." Paul writes that you and I are at war, not with other people, not with flesh and blood, but with rulers, with powers, with dark, wicked spiritual forces. The Bible makes it very clear that Satan and his demons are real, that they hate God, and that they hate those who are made in his image, that is, you and me. Their aim is to destroy the image of God wherever they might find it, by lying and deceiving, so that our hearts might be twisted, that our minds might be darkened, that our faith might be redirected to anywhere else except to God our Maker and our Savior. The well-kept secret of Satan, our enemy, is that his objective to destroy the image of God is hopeless. He can't possibly succeed in his mission. For our King, Jesus, has routed him through his death and through his resurrection. But that doesn't stop the evil one from turning against us with the little time that he has left. You and I are under attack. Our faith is under fire. It's a reality that we must understand as we live our lives in Christ, that this is not peace time. The conflict is real. Paul knew it. And he wanted the Ephesian Christians and you and me to recognize it as well. But Paul doesn't simply want to remind us that we are under attack. He's writing to encourage us, to remind us that we are victorious already in Jesus. All throughout this letter, Paul has sung the praises of the one who has a power and authority without limit, and who has put that power and authority to work, to save you and to save me, to make us the forgiven and clean children of God. He has shared the news of our victorious King and General, who has already gone before us in battle, who's already won the victory. This outcome is not in doubt. We're simply called to stand firm in the victory that Jesus has already won for us, and to equip us to stand firm. God clothes us with his armor, the same armor worn by our victorious King, now placed upon you and me and upon all who have been baptized into Christ. So for the remainder of our message, I want to share with you the kind of armor that God, our Savior, provides for us. Let's pick up Paul's words in verse 13. He writes, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth." For a Roman soldier, a belt would have kept all his loose clothing bound in, making it easier to move and to fight. You see, Satan would distract us. He would deceive us. He would try to get us to lose our focus and go all over the place. He would pull us in every direction, tempting us to chase every new and shiny object. But God's truth reins us in, holds us together, helps us to focus on what really matters. Paul goes on, he says, "And having put on the breastplate of righteousness," again, we're reminded in this moment that this ultimately isn't our armor first. It is God's armor, which he gives to us. So the breastplate, which would have been the piece that protects the vital organs like the heart and the lungs and the abdomen, it doesn't consist of your ability to get it right. Thanks be to God. This righteousness, which Paul talks about, is the righteousness of another. It's Jesus' righteousness given to you. We are clothed in his goodness, in his ability to get it right. In other words, St. Paul is saying your life is encased within the indestructible life and goodness of Christ. Believe it. Stand firm. St. Paul goes on. "And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace." Seems paradoxical. But St. Paul writes that God actually prepares us, makes us ready for the conflict by giving us a message of peace. That good news, that God's unstoppable saving love demonstrated fully in Jesus has come to us and has saved us and has given us peace with God. The ledger has been erased forever. That message has the power to simultaneously help us stand firm in the midst of the conflict and also to move, to engage that conflict wherever we might find it. Satan's enslaving lies, wherever they happen to be. St. Paul continues, "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." In the ancient world, a common tactic of warfare was the shooting of flaming arrows. And so Roman soldiers, as they would prepare for battle, would actually have a shield that was covered in leather. And then before they would go into battle, they'd actually dip that shield in water so that they would have a sopping wet leather shield to carry into battle. And when an enemy would shoot a flaming arrow at them, it would hit their shield, and the shield would actually extinguish the arrows. In the same way, faith acts as a shield for you and for me. When Satan sends flaming darts our way, often they come to us in the form of accusations about the sins that we've committed. Things that Satan says, like, "You're not good enough. God couldn't possibly love you because of your sin." You in faith can say back to him, "Yes, I know that. I understand my sin. I understand its gravity. And I understand that I deserve no good thing from God." But faith clings to a different word, not the word that Satan shares with you, but the word that God shares with you, the word that our Savior shares with you in the waters of baptism. Your shield has been dipped in the water, and it can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one because it's a shield of faith that clings to the words of God. The word of God that says to you, you're forgiven. You're loved. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God says to you and to me, you are mine, and I'm holding you no matter what. I've made a promise to you, and that promise was based not on your goodness, but on my choosing and my love and the work of my Son. Trust me, Satan cannot harm you. St. Paul goes on. He says, "And take the helmet of salvation." The helmet would have been the last piece of armor that a soldier would have put on before battle. Our final piece of protective armor today is the assurance of salvation that we have in Jesus. Before we even enter the fray, we strap on the helmet. We strap on the reminder that it's already done. Jesus declared from the cross, "It is finished." Jesus has already won the victory for us. In Him, we already have salvation. It's firm, it's complete, it's secure, and in it we stand firm. We stand forever. Finally, at last, God gives us an offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You see, the Word of God is powerful, and it gives us strength not only to stand firm, but even to advance and to fight back against the forces of evil, where Satan would enslave us and others through deception and confusion and shame. Jesus, the Word of God, comes and He sets us free. He describes Himself as the thief who comes and binds up the strong man, that is Satan, so that he can plunder the strong man's house. And that's what the Word of God does. Wherever it advances, wherever it is wielded, it sets people free. It plunders the house of the evil one. It liberates. Through that Word, God rescues us. And through that Spirit-empowered Word, He rescues others as well. So read it. Hear it. Speak it. And as we stand on the field of battle, clothed in God's own armor and wielding God's own word, Paul leaves us with the commendation to pray. Pray for strength. Pray for your fellow soldiers on the battlefield. Pray, entrusting yourself to our King and to our General who is already victorious, and who intends for you and for me to stand firm in Him. Yes, we are under attack. Yes, the fight can be fierce and the warfare can be long. Yes, things can seem confusing and discouraging. But trust the news, the good news, that our enemy is way overmatched. that he cannot stand against the one who has gone before us and has won the victory for us through his death, through his resurrection. So stand firm in Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds this day and always in Christ Jesus, our victorious Savior and King. Amen.